What I'd like us to turn to Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, and we're primarily going to look at 34. And this really leads up to the parable that Jesus of the mustard seed, that little seed is sown into the ground, when it dies, what it brings forth, and so on. And we know that Jesus many times taught in parables, because this was the way people understood. Many of them were people of the land, farmers, so he used a lot of the rural country life around to explain deeper meanings. But he spoke in parables also because those who are called by God will sooner or later understand the deeper meaning of these parables. So this is how the Lord was teaching, and this is how God was working through him. And of course, much of this type of teaching came because of the opposition that Jesus was receiving through the Pharisees and scribes and so on. So for those who are hungry, those who want to learn and know more about God, God's going to have a way of communicating to his sheep. That's why we say, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And that is why it's so essential to pray, to have your heart open to receive the seed of God's word, because it is supernatural. It is not revealed in the natural. You cannot receive it in the natural. It is spiritual and can only be received by the Spirit. So that is our understanding of this. And in verse 34, the disciples come to him. Well, actually, let's take it from verse 33. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. So there were many things that the disciples were listening with regard to Jesus' ministry, but there were times he took them to one side to expound, to teach them the deeper meaning and truth. And in many ways, that is what God is doing in these last days. There's a lot of seed being sown, and it's falling in all places, but little is falling into the heart of man, the good ground, the soil that is prepared. And in that seed that he sows, in its time as it's developing, taking root, bringing forth that fruit which it does, he teaches us at a deeper level. Or there may be some things we don't understand, and he's going to expound and explain to us. And in many ways, the deeper life that we as the overcomers and others who are receiving this, this is something that's deeper. It is being explained, expounded to disciples, to those who are asking. Which is interesting. The title that I've given today for this teaching might sound as though it contradicts. But the title that we're talking about today is, we are quite ignorant about ourselves. We're quite ignorant about ourselves. And I think you'll see the parallel, why we ask, when it's right to ask, and why the Lord will expound and show the deeper things, simply because we don't know. We are quite ignorant. After a while, we realize that we cannot assimilate and understand these things in the intellect. The world is trying to. Religion tries to understand God in the intellect, and that's all it will result in, just you being religious. Man's interpretation and understanding of God, which is always boxed into man's mind and little cliche and his religion, his organization. I mean, God is infinitely, vastly greater than that. The Bible tells us there's no beginning, no end. You can't put any beginning, you can't put any end to God. He's eternal, uncreated spirit, always has been, always will be. So we find ourselves quite ignorant with regard to ourselves. And that's why I've chosen this verse in Mark 4:34, because God always takes us aside and explain things. He will at times, but he doesn't do it every time. We wish that he did, but he doesn't always. And of course the disciples are asking here because yes, he's speaking in parables, but he didn't always do that. And he knows the time when to speak to us. And he does this, and he's trying to show us that we don't know ourselves. And that is why he has to expound and speak to us at the right time so that we begin to understand. Now, if God doesn't do this, we will remain quite insular, quite religious, and very inward-looking, and totally consumed in our thing, our organization, our camp that we belong to, our denomination, and so on, of which, of course, we see so much of that stuff. And really, that is a sign of ignorance. It's a clear sign that they are trying to understand God, trying to understand ourselves, trying to understand my brother, my sister, but failing to do so. You see, one of the things we learn when we walk with God, the depth that God goes to with regard to delivering us and setting us free is absolutely amazing. It could never be achieved. Even psychology can't even get near to this, to what the Lord is actually doing in setting the captives free. But God doesn't always take us aside and explain things every time. He explains as we are able to understand and when we are ready. So we are developing, we are growing, just like the seed that he gives out. Walk by faith, we overcome, we take each day by faith, we know all these principles, and in all of that, he then will begin to reveal what we need to know when we are ready and we're able to understand. See, he has given us a brain, he has given us minds, and they are for a reason. Even though he's changing those minds because we put on the mind of Christ, just like we put on a cloak. So he's teaching that new mind so that we can understand. And every time when we understand what God is saying or doing, and a lot of the times it's with regards to ourselves, that is when we are delivered, we are set free. In other words, what we call it, we say, do you know, God has opened my eyes. Didn't see that before. I mean, how many times have we said that? We might not say it in so many words, but that is initially what we say and we do. It can be exactly the same with the Word of God. We can be reading scriptures and whatever for years, and suddenly our eyes have been opened to something. You are ready to understand. You are ready. That is the point now. God is going to explain to you, just like he was doing with the disciples and those that followed him. There's a right time for all of this. And you see, this process in many ways takes eternity. And it requires, on our part, to also examine ourselves, because it takes years for us to conform to his purpose, his will, his plan. That is why it's not unhealthy to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And in many ways, the Holy Spirit, our meeting, the word that we hear has a way of making us, if we mean business with God, to go away and take it before him to pray about it or to examine. We so often say, don't we, and we hear it over and over again, gosh, that message had my name and address on it. Well, it had your name and address on it because God wants you to examine. He wants to speak to you. He wants you to talk that out with him. He wants you to understand some deeper things. That is why it has your name and address on. And that includes me also. I'm just the vessel. So there are reasons for all of this. And so it's so that we conform to his purpose, his plan. In other words, that yielding. We don't yield in the natural. We're unyieldable. We resist. We don't like change. That is our problem. And God saves us in those conditions and begins to work and change those affections. And so the reason so often we don't like change or we resist yielding is because we think we know ourselves, but we're actually quite ignorant. And it's in our ignorance that we resist God. And God doesn't want you ignorant about yourself. He wants you to experience and know that you are that new creation in Christ Jesus, in the second Adam. He wants you to know that. He wants you to be blessed by that. He wants you to experience, yes, even in this life, while he tarries, that new walk, that new life, that new creation that we are in him, you see. And so it's very, very important for us to experience all of this. And so the only way we're going to experience these things is as we acknowledge the fact, I know nothing about myself, and certainly I don't know anything about myself other than what the scriptures tell me, that I'm a new creation in Christ. That I'm that new creation in Christ, and that is what he wants us to learn and know. He doesn't want us still knowing or trying to understand the old ways. Now, I'm not talking about two natures, but you can let that old nature dominate, in a sense, if you want to, which is the flesh, and the flesh will bring death, as we know. We make that decision. We can sow either to the law of life or to the law of death. And you see, if we accept the fact that we are completely ignorant about ourselves, we don't know anything about ourselves, then that's going to feed and enable us to be able to walk in that new life as new creations, because it's that new life that he's going to teach us about, in that sense. And yet we find so many in the house of God still want the old ways, the old paths, what I used to do, or what I used to enjoy, and those things. That's why salvation is separation, it's holiness, it's sanctification, set apart. And it's that new life that he begins to educate and teach us in. And that takes grace and mercy. It takes revelation. It takes years. It takes the word of God, the anointing, to begin to teach that new life that we are and now are in Christ Jesus. But the problem is, because we still at times want those old ways, those old habits, we don't want to change. That's why we're so ignorant of ourselves. Many call themselves Christians and so on, but they don't really know that new life, which is to be experienced. And even us in full gospel assembly, we have to be on our guard. We're not exempt. Simply because we're listening to a message like this, that new life in Christ, follow the Lord wherever he goes. And he goes in various places. He doesn't always just go along the nice pastures, along the nice rivers and whatever. Sometimes he's walking through the desert. Sometimes he's walking through a war zone. Sometimes he's walking through a famine, whatever. But we follow, we walk with him. That's the whole point, you see. But we can only be used of God when he's revealed those hidden areas of our lives and our character. And it is amazing how ignorant we are with regard to this. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, we can be very ignorant to the fact that I'm very impatient. I'm not a very patient person. Or we can be very ignorant to the fact, oh, I suffer with jealousy, you know, have a problem about this, but somehow we get this idea that it's all these things, and very often there are demons attached to them, that it's my character, it's always what I have been. After all, Mother had a problem with that, you know? And when we take that sort of attitude, that laid-back position, we procrastinate, they're clear signs you're utterly ignorant about yourself. It can be pride, laziness, envy, gluttony, gossip, lying, name it. All of these things, sadly, are found at times in the house of God that shouldn't be. And they're clear signs that we're ignorant. The problem is, we think we know ourselves. And not only do we think we know ourselves, we think we know our brother or our sister, or we know so-and-so who's going through whatever they're going through. We don't know unless God reveals. How many times have we thought we've known something, or we've worked it out, what that sister's going through, and suddenly to find God shows you you've got it totally wrong. You thought you knew, but it wasn't that at all. Or you go up to somebody, I know, brother, exactly what you're going through. I know, you know, you start to share with them what how they're hurting and everything. You look at them and say, well, sorry, but I'm not. It's not that at all. Oh, you know, I know I'm exaggerating a bit here, but that can go on. It's showing something that we don't understand. We don't understand each other. We only understand one another in the love of Jesus and the unity and the fellowship and the oneness that we have in him. We can only understand one another under the banner of Jesus Christ as a new creation. Otherwise, we become prejudiced. We become judgmental. And those things that try to tear and separate the body of Christ. Now, sometimes God may burden us, or he might show you, but that is always, and I've always been very clear on this over the years, if you are shown something, that is for them to get on your knees and supplicate and pray, and not to gossip and talk about. You see, God has a way in which he works. We are in fellowship to be changed, to be delivered, to be healed. We're being brought in. It is a process. Our meeting's about being brought in, being prepared for God's kingdom and eternity with him. This is preparatory. All of our gathering together is preparatory for what we're facing in the future, to be in glory with him. This is why you get some Christians, oh, well, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, but I don't go to church, I don't have to. Now, you know, I've heard this one so many times. And I know it's not easy because, you know, there aren't always the churches that are around that one wants to identify yourself with. However, if it's your heart's desire and you see that it is to be part of the body of Christ, then God's going to move on your behalf. That's the whole point. And we know that because we all scattered around, but we make the effort to come together near and far for our fellowship. And we need this fellowship because this fellowship is preparing us for the kingdom. That is why, if we want to win and live with Jesus in eternity, this is why he sets the doorway into the kingdom, into the body itself. This is a manifestation, not only of God's presence, God's glory, the Holy Spirit, but it's a manifestation of the doorway into the kingdom. That you can be used to help lead and guide people, sinners in the world, to go through that door, the same as you've gone through it. But I wonder how many of us see this. Are we still remaining in our ignorance? This is why we need to get into the Word of God, into prayer, be soaked up with the Word. Because that Word is going to teach you. It's not just enough for me to teach you each week or twice a week. You have also got to be taught by the Holy Spirit yourself with your relationship with God. Or take the Scriptures. Many times, you know, when we talk about the Word or whatever it is, you can take that away and you can look at them and you will find that God will begin to add to that more. He will open up more on the seed that I have been used to sow, you see. You know, someone said this, it's very interesting. For grace to work, weakness or sin has first to be recognized. You can talk about grace, you can know the theology of grace, but unless God's opened your eye or ignorance, grace won't work. And then you begin to understand what grace is all about. How that grace and mercy bears so long with me to get it right. And sometimes it takes years, doesn't it? Praise his name. But Jesus will reveal to us everything if we have held it within ourselves and in our hearts. So things that we want to know, and there are things that we want to know. Sometimes we shelve things. We have to learn to discern. We have to test the Spirit. There are a number of things that we do. So God knows, but we are learning that he has a right time in which he's going to reveal to us what it is we're wanting to know or discern or test or whatever it would be. It doesn't come immediately. But he will do. That's why we hold these things within our heart. And we wait on God. And God is faithful. He's faithful. And you cannot force him to reveal inner truths to you until you are ready in which to receive it. If there's things you want now immediately, thank God that he doesn't show you yet. Because there are things that I am waiting on for God to speak and reveal to me. And yes, he's done so. And I thank God when he has done it. Because I have seen, I'm ready now to receive that. I couldn't have received it when I asked him at that time. I'd run away in fear, which we would all do. So he has that right time in which to reveal those deeper things and truths of the Word. And of course, he was doing exactly the same with the disciples when they walked with him. This is why they inquired of the Lord. And when it was the right time, as we have read here, he then expounded the deeper truth of the parables that he was talking about, because they were ready to receive it. That's the whole point, you see. And that is why we've got to quit this idea that we understand, we know ourselves, we know one another and everything. We don't know unless God reveals. I know nothing. Sometimes, you know, that's put in a comic way, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, when you see programs or the police are asking someone, or I know nothing, you know. Well, how much more us who walk with the Lord? He has to reveal himself. He has to speak to us. This is why we receive the Holy Spirit, the unction of the Spirit that leads and guides us. As I say so often, this is how Jesus walked. He revealed. I know nothing except the Father reveals it to me. And we are exactly the same because we're completely ignorant. Now we're made a new creation in Christ. He has to teach us. He has to work with us with that new creation. And yet at times we still want the old paths. We want to be in control how we learn about God. And he isn't going to let us be in control. He is in control. He is going to teach us. He's going to show us when we're ready, when we're mature, when we're in that place that we can take it, we can stand, and so on. Because otherwise, I'll tell you, you will run away. Just like the disciples did on the night of his betrayal. But look what Jesus did, how he brought them back by his love and mercy, you see. But you know, the reason that it, or one of the reasons why this takes such a time, how God works with us, is that we are afraid to look inward. And the reason that we're afraid to look inward, because it takes courage. I don't really want to have a look at myself. I don't really want to see what's inside me. I don't really want to have a look. I don't want his light, his presence to start to penetrate deep within me. But sooner or later, God catches up with us if we love him and want to walk with him. And somehow, he has a way then of exposing and revealing what is there. And it takes courage to acknowledge. It takes courage to admit. It takes humility to say, Lord, I was so blind and ignorant about myself in this. But thank God you've revealed. You don't want me walking in that way. I mean, who wants to walk in ignorance? That's why the schools don't like pupils that revel in ignorance. They want them to achieve and to do well. They work with them. You know, they set all these leagues and these tables and so forth. I mean, there's quite rivalry between each these schools, I can tell you that. But I mean, if you see that in education and university, well, how much more in the house of God? As we have the Holy Spirit, the greatest teacher ever, who's teaching us. You know? So it's very important, you know, how we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us. So we've got to get delivered from this idea that we understand ourselves, or that's the last bit of pride to go, praise God, you know, only to find there's some more. I know, I've done it, I don't thank the Lord, you know, praise God, that's out the way. And up it rises, and you think, now where's this come from, you know, because I was ignorant of myself, I thought differently. But I didn't think how God was thinking. You see, there's only one who understands us, and we know who that is. And you know something, you can rest in that. That can be your biggest deliverance. I don't have to explain. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that Jesus understands me, because I don't. I'm too complex. How can we understand one another who is fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, who has no beginning, no end? You cannot put any time on him. You cannot put any limit on him. He is everything that we think he is. He is love. He is faithfulness. He is everything. And that is what you are made and created in. You can't begin to understand. And that's why psychology and psychiatrists and that very often do such damage, because they're trying to understand the nature of man, trying to understand his or her heart. And very often they're bringing up the old wounds, the things of the past, bringing it to the fore, you know, and we'll get you delivered from this and so forth. And they can't, because they cannot change the heart. They cannot heal the brokenhearted. They cannot heal the wounds. There's only one who can do that. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And so this is why Jesus so often teaches and works with us, particularly where pride is, because he can't teach us otherwise. So he has to allow us to go through certain situations in which it will expose that problem, of which you will only be too glad at the end to get delivered from. You see? That's how we understand. That's how we learn. That's how we say, no more. Been down that road too often. I don't want to go down it again. No. You've overcome. You resisted. You've turned away. No longer is Satan attracting you and beguiling you. You see? This is how he does it. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful how he works in us. How he changes our attitude, our affections, our desires, everything. When you look back, you think, that has to be God what he's done in me. Because I know what I would have done otherwise. You know, and that's what gives him all the praise and all the glory. That's why you give it back to him. Because you have worked a miracle in my life. You have changed me in areas that could never be done otherwise. And you can't help but lift holy hands and just praise and thank him and worship him, you see. Because he's done such a deep, deep work of change and deliverance. You see, many, are wallowing today. They allow heartbreak. They allow disappointments. They allow all these things to wound them. Because they're trying to understand themselves. How can you understand yourself if your heart has been broken? It's such a deep thing. And yet we try to analyze, we try to understand, and yet God says, I'll heal the brokenhearted. He's the only one who understands a broken heart. He's the only one that understands that we have. He's the only one that deals with this baggage that we have when we come over to Christ, and he washes us and cleanses us with the blood of Jesus. God is the only one that will take on the baggage of God, humanity. Because I'll tell you something today, people, governments and everything, they run clear of a lot of people. Oh, I can't, no, we're not bothered with them. Look at the baggage that they're carrying, you know? And I'll tell you, people are. I'll tell you the baggage that people are carrying, the complexities, the problems are getting worse and worse. Well, no, you can't take it on. Governments can't take it on, but there's one who can. And his name is Jesus, and his provision is there through the cross of Calvary, through the blood of the Lamb. And he'll make a new creation out of us. And you can leave all that baggage at the foot of the cross. That's why I keep saying the gospel is such a good message. It's a message of good tidings. And we must never forget to present the gospel in that way, to reflect it in that way, and no finer way than when we come to praise and worship the Lord. Those that truly worship God know what God has done with all their baggage that they had. Hallelujah. And this is why, you know, when God is delivering us and setting the captives free, he has a way in which he brings us to a place where we're absolutely speechless. we're unable to say anything. We're unable to ask a question sometimes, because God brings us to such a place. I have nothing else to say. I can only just praise and thank God. This is why I talked the other day, didn't I, about how can you explain your walk as a Christian? How can you explain the meetings? How can you explain what God's saying and doing? The only thing you can ever say to anybody, well, come along and see for yourself. It's so difficult to explain what God is doing, because it's so deep. It's so great. The gospel is a message to be experienced, not theorized, not analyzed. And if Christians really had grasped that one, we wouldn't have the myriads of theological books that we have, all trying to explain that experience. That is why the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher. And yet he's the one we ignore. We turn our back on. We don't want. Why? Because he's the revealer of truth. And he reveals truth sometimes that we don't want to know. We run away. We pretend. We don't want to see it, you see. But thank God he's got a way. He doesn't give up on us. He's merciful, he's gracious, he's long-suffering, you know. And eventually when we do get it, we do see. We just find ourselves saying, Lord, oh, forgive me. Forgive me that it takes such a long time. Your grace and mercy is so infinite. But you know, that is a means, that experience that I've just said there is a way you express that in your worship and praise. That's what makes you open your mouth and worship God. You see, it comes out of a grateful, thankful heart. And never forget that, brothers and sisters. That's why God inhabits the praises of his people. And that's why we need these deeper truths. And that is why Jesus said here, and we know it very well, and I would just read it to you in John 14 and verse 26. John 14 and verse 26, of which he says here, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And that's the principle, that's really how he works. He will bring these truths to our remembrance. He's doing precisely that now, this moment, as we listen to this word. Maybe things that we've heard before, but are coming up again with a deeper concept, or a deeper truth, or an understanding. This is how God works with us. He brings things up periodically. He's the builder, building in us so that we're able to understand yet more of what we had been 2 years ago. And he works this way simply because he's trying to show us we are ignorant and we know nothing. We know nothing of ourselves. We think we do, but we don't. He is the revealer. He has to tell us, show us, as we don't know. And that is why God came against those Pharisees and scribes, the religious people, because in their pride, in their own intellect, they believed they knew God and held the people in bondage. And that is what God hates. And sadly, we have a lot of that in Christendom. Those spiritual Pharisees, scribes are still around today. See, that spirit doesn't change. The enemy doesn't change. You see? And that is why they persecuted Christ. That is why it was religion, it was that spirit that put him to the cross. Because it exposed their hypocrisies. It exposed their ignorance. You see, there are vast areas of stubbornness and ignorance still within us at times, and he has to reveal to us, or are we going to be concerned about our own ideas? We're going to be concerned about ourselves, our friends, our careers, what we do, what we say, where we go, how we look, and all these things that the world is so consumed in. All of that is ignorance. God has to unravel all of that. I'm going to make you a creation that glorifies me. This is why we have the analogy of the clay and the potter. And the potter, the master's hands, molding that clay, that vessel of honor for his glory. And each one of us, that is what he's doing, even right now. Even right now, as we are in God's presence, the Holy Spirit teaching us, leading us, those mighty hands are molding us. This is why I keep saying our meetings, our gathering together, coming under the unction of the anointing is so essential for us to be changed into his likeness. This is why he sets the gifts in the body of Christ. And particularly the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher in Ephesians 4 for the maturing and the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. This is how God sets the ministries in so that he touches us, he changes us. It's absolutely vital. Why? Because we are quite ignorant of ourselves. You see, he can't deal with us until we quit all our intellectual questions and get alone with him. All the while you've got these carnal intellectual questions, you'll never know. And this is why, sadly, there can be so much argument that goes on amongst Christians, religious people. They bicker, they argue. There's no real unity and fellowship because they like to talk about it all, but they are not so good at getting on their own, on their knees, and praying and seeking and waiting on God for those answers. That is what sorts out the men from the boys. And you see, the humble will do that. Those that don't know themselves, don't understand, all it is they know that God loves us, God is faithful, I'm that new creation in Christ, they're the ones who will go before God and allow God to speak to them, to teach them, to educate them. And then out of that relationship comes these questions. And in that right time, God will expound and teach you and speak to you, just like he was with the disciples when they didn't understand when he spoke in those parables. He will do exactly the same. This is why the scriptures tell us that God doesn't call the wise, the intellectual. He doesn't call many of them. But he calls the foolish of this world in which to confound the wise. That's why the wise hate the true body of Christ. That's why the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, they hated Christ's message because it was exposing their hypocrisies. And then sadly, it was that religion that put Jesus to the cross. That's why I'm opposed to religion. Religion never changes, never saves a person. Religion put Jesus to the cross. That's what God thinks of it. God is not religious. Satan is. Satan is very religious. Sadly, many who profess themselves as believers are religious. How do we know this? Because Jesus said Satan is the god of this world until Jesus finally comes to rule and reign. And he's now disguising himself in a religious way. And sadly, most follow that. A lot of the cults that we see today, a lot of the wars, the religious wars that are all going on, it's all the enemy at work. That is why God, when he calls us and saves us and we become a new creation, we are peacemakers. We bear the fruit. Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them, not by how much scripture they know. I'm not saying you shouldn't know scripture, but the point I'm saying is, by the fruit you will know them. That is the test. That is what will stand. We will see all of these other things, they will pass away. But God's word, eternal word, will never pass away. This is why I have written this sermon today and this title, We Are Quite Ignorant About Ourselves. And the humble will have no problem with that message, that title, because I'm totally ignorant myself. I don't know myself. I can only know myself as God reveals, as that new creation in him. And thank God for that. Thank God. What a deliverance that you don't have to know things about yourself and so forth. Which is what the world wants you to do. Which is what psychology wants you to do. Or build the inner man. You know, it's all about self. Building the self-ego. That's the very thing that must be crucified daily. Which you take up and follow with your cross. That denial of the self-life, that's the very thing that we surrender up to God. Not seed. Hallelujah. The Lord is faithful, is he not? Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you, you know how to speak to your people. As you have said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And you have come to give us eternal life. You have come to speak to us, to teach us, to lead us, and to guide us. And you have said that if we know the truth, then the truth will set us free. I thank you today, Father, for our fellowship. I thank you for bringing the saints into the room. Some from around the world, that we can come and have fellowship, come in unity and oneness, come under the blood of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have a remnant around the world who are of your spirit, redeemed, washed by the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you are speaking to us in these last days, and you are preparing us. You're showing us, Father, that we're simply sojourners just passing through. The world, sadly, is rapidly moving towards its final judgments. But, Father, you have set us apart from that. You have redeemed us. You have shown that way of escape. In these last days, you have revealed that spirit that we can get into and that we can ride above the storms of judgment that are coming over the face of the earth, just like the ark that rose above the floods of water over the earth. These are all spiritual types, Father, that you're showing us. And Father, we thank you for your love, your faithfulness. We thank you that you never give up on us. That you are so patient, so merciful, so gracious. And even when you do chastise us, it is only just for a season. And your heart and nature is that you always bless at the end. You are so generous, you are so giving. You're everything other than we are not. And you are our greatest teacher. That is why you said in your word that we have no need that man should teach us. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us. You just simply use a man, a vessel. But it is you that is teaching us. The greatest teacher ever. And Lord, your word is eternal. I believe it will not just be in this life, but it'll be throughout eternity where we learn more and more and more about you and of you. It will never come to an end, even when we're in your presence in glory. What a great and mighty God we serve. And Father, we thank you again for this meeting today, for making it possible, for moving in our hearts to be here in this room. And I pray, Lord, your blessing upon everyone. I pray the blood of Jesus over all the saints that have come into the room. Guard them, preserve them, keep them. Be with them when they go out and when they come in. Keep them, Father, from the evil one, from temptations. Keep them in the purity of your word. Keep them separated from the world, sanctified unto you, we ask, in Jesus' name.